It's deja vu all over again, and the 10-1 Owls look for a different result. Today we're at Fifth Third Bank Stadium in Kennesaw, where the Owls and Bulldogs are set for round two with much higher stakes on the line. And two, you said it best the other day. It's not often you get a chance to right what you perceive to be a wrong.
The Owls have an opportunity at redemption today, but you better believe the Owls have a little payback on their mind this afternoon against Sanford.
And Nathan, not much chance of a three-hour lightning delay this time around.
This is the game they wanted. Kennesaw State has everything going for them. It's Sanford-Kennesaw State. See if the Owls can pick up a win this time.
Third down and goal from the 7. Sumter will go to the left wide. Harper comes wide to the right. Burks takes the snap, gonna fade it. Far side, Sumter caught it. Touchdown! Touchdown, Justin Sumter! Used Darius Harvey on that side. Third down and 4 from the 23-yard line. Burks in the gun. Chandler takes the snap and drops the throw. They get good push up front, but he floats it down the field. Ball's going to be caught after a deflection by McKenzie. Defender got a hand on it, batted it up in the air. It was Dion Pierre, and McKenzie comes down with it at the 35. Wow. First down at the 35. Quickly on the ball, the Owls. Taking the snap is Burks, dropping to throw. Floats it to McKenzie near side. 50, 45, and out of bounds at the 42 of Sanford. That stops the clock. 44 seconds left to go. Jamond Glass made the stop on the play. Might be the place for the fade, too. In motion starts Terry Wright. Here is the fade, far side, Sumter leaping. Got it! Touchdown! Touchdown, Justin Sumter! Second time he's victimized Harvey, who had some help that time. Didn't matter. Going to be an attempt of about 40 yards for Jordan Weaver. The wind is blowing cross field here. Out of the hold of Bernard. Trying to cut it to 8 is Sanford here. Snap, spot, kick is on the way, and it's no good. No good. Wide to the left. And the Owls get him off the field. Hodges in the gun. First and 10 right at the midfield stripe. Hodges guns it near side. Intercepted by Rawls, and he's gone. 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Touchdown to Kebron Rawls. Threw it right to it. 12 consecutive games the Owls have picked off a pass, and this one could be the biggest of them all. Third down at 2. Hodges in the gun, 2 receivers left, 2 to the right. Hawk in the backfield with him, they motion him to the right. Hodges takes the snap, floats it near side. Paulk. Paulk is going to be wrapped up and dropped short of the first down. Bryson Armstrong and Akebron Rawls. Izzy Sam in the middle of things as well. Back to the dual stacks right and left. Here is Hodges back to throw. Hodges guns it far side. Bang! Down goes McKnight. And he did get the first down, but boy, it came with a price tag. Akebron Rawls absolutely laid a ton of bricks to him that time. Fourth down and 10. Dropping to throw is Hodges. Screens it over to the far side. It's Harris. Harris is going down short of the first down. And no flags on the field. And the Owls will get him off the field, it would appear. Marshall and McKnight to the right. Here is Hodges' ball batted down. Batted down, I think it was Tenarius Portras who slapped it to the ground, and it's fourth down. Fourth down at 6 from the 38-yard line. Minute 19 left to go. Heavy pressure coming on Hodges, rolling out near side. Hodges wings it near side. Incomplete, and the Owls are going to advance. Minute 13 left to go. Izzy Sam with the pressure from the backside, and Kennesaw State about to atone and avenge the only loss in 2017. Owls got him stopped. Minute 13 left to go. An 11-point lead, you like your chances. Chandler Burks takes a knee, and the clock is going to wind down to 0. Kennesaw State makes the playoffs for the first time. Kennesaw State wins in the playoffs for the first time as they beat Sanford, the only team they lost to the entire year, 28-17. The win streak is 11, and Nathan, down to you with Coach Bohannon.
Coach, the clock hits 0. What a win. The dream continues.
Yeah, no doubt. Great team win. Defense second half. I mean, they scored 7 points and stopped them in the second half. It's kind of where our team's been this year. Sometimes it's O, sometimes it's the D. We couldn't get a first down in the second half. Defense got it done.
This team is consistently just do what they do, run the ball again. Chandler Burke's making good decisions, and this offense is really tough to beat.
Yeah, we did some good things in the first half, stymied a little bit in the second half, dropped a pass in the end zone that would have been nice. But at the end of the day, 28 is more than 17.
You still got to think those missed opportunities. This could have gotten away from Sanford a little bit, but it was a tough match, and you expect it from this Sanford team. They're pretty good.
No doubt. They're a great football team. Coach Hatcher does a great job. It's the playoffs. You survive in advance. There's no style points. You survive in advance.
You're checking off another one, Coach. First playoff win for Kennesaw State. Congratulations.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nathan.
Final Word Podcast, the second round of the playoffs edition, as the Owls get set to take on a tall task, frankly, and travel over to battle the third-ranked in one poll, second in another, Jacksonville State Gamecocks. Brian Giffen with Nathan McCreary, Brandon Joseph alongside. Two couldn't land the helicopter, so he'll join us Saturday for the game. But, guys, obviously, it's exciting times around here. The Owls not only make the playoffs, the Owls win their first playoff game. They atone for and kind of avenge the only loss they had the entire season. And it's already a pretty darn feel-good story. But, man, now you got a chance to go shock the world and go to loftier places than you might ever have expected.
Well, you go into the Sanford game being around the guys, we felt like this is the game that they wanted. That redemption to get a chance to go at Sanford again, and they did, and boy, did they play well. They certainly did. They kept Sanford, a team that was scoring over 30 points per game, to 17 points. Chandler Burks played well. Then another game, I don't think we had another turnover that game as well. So, you know, just played well. Oh, we did have one, yeah. We just played well. They played within themselves. And Brian, you've been talking about it all again. Nothing's been too big. Coach Brohannon said that 100 times. You know, now you're going to go face a team that, in the FCS, this is the darling. You're talking about a team that was the second runner-up a couple years ago. They are just a phenomenal football team. The region is great because it's only about a two-hour drive from here. You got to like your chances if you continue to play your Kennesaw State ball. It's going to be a tough battle, no doubt about it. These guys are much bigger. I was really impressed with Sanford's size again. I've forgotten how big they were. But, you know, you're just going to have to play your game and let it play out on the field.
And for Kennesaw State, what that game was the players were hyped up for it, the players really wanted it, but you take a look at what happened against Charleston Southern, what happened against Monmouth at the end of the season, that game versus Sanford could have been another one of those games, if not for the fumble at the two-yard line.
Right.
That game almost got out of hand very quickly for Sanford. So for Kennesaw State, as you playing tougher competition, you're playing up to that competition, but you're still doing the things that execute so very well that had those big wins in those must-win games in the Big South Conference.
I think we're at the point now, and you guys tell me if you think I'm erroneous on this, but this team has the talent, I think, to play with and potentially beat any FCS program we've seen so far, the caliber anyway that we've seen so far. Problem, of course, with that is that Jacksonville is probably at a level we haven't seen as yet. But the other side of that is there has not been a moment or an atmosphere that has overwhelmed or been too much for this group. And, you know, the fact that they're a player-led team, I don't know how the game's going to come out as far as the outcome, but I got a pretty good feeling they're going to go over there and acquit themselves pretty well.
Well, and you can look at common opponents. Jacksonville State played Liberty at home, and they won 31-10. Not much different than what Kennesaw State did to Liberty. Now, I know those games are kind of apples to oranges there, but you just kind of look at the stats and you go over it and you say, okay, we compete in those key categories: total offense, rushing, scoring offense. You know, we compete.
Time of possession.
Time of possession. You know, 3+ minutes in favor for Kennesaw State in that category. Penalties. Kennesaw State's penalties have continuously dropped. They're now below 7 penalties per game, where they were hovering around 9 there as early in the season. So, third down conversion. Those kind of areas that Kennesaw State's been consistent in. If they can play that consistent ball game on Saturday, I certainly think you'll have a competitive match.
And for Jacksonville State, they're not a team that really wins by passing the ball. They run the ball very well, but even that is not an overwhelming thing. They have guys that average about 90 yards a game, and then another guy that averages about 65 yards a game. That's how they do it with multiple backs. So for Kennesaw State, everything that lines up in this game says that, hey, we should be in this game. They don't do any one thing amazingly well. It's not like there's one back that just gashes the defense. They do a committee, and you slow one guy down, that knocks off heavy production. So for Kennesaw State, you're looking at this matchup going, hey, we have a legit shot. There is a legit path to victory here for the Owls.
Jacksonville State is special on defense. I think we can agree that the strength of their team is the defense. And one of the things that the Owls present problems for any defense with is they make them play the entire field. If Chandler Burks can be accurate in this game and hit open targets, then it's going to have to open some other part of this offense. But, you know, the key now is you got to find one of these things open. And if he can be accurate and get Justin Sumter, and it sounds like Xavier Harper may not play, by the way. We'll find out more. But if Chandler Burks can be accurate and can distribute the ball around, and the Owls avoid two things, A, turning the ball over, but B, going through one of those lapses where you can kind of get overwhelmed, you know, you give up 10 or 17 or something unanswered, I think they've got an excellent chance to be in this game in the fourth quarter and have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, and I think that if you look at their special teams, Justin Thompson from Kennesaw State has been more accurate than their field goal kicker. But, you know, it goes back to play on the field. And we saw a 5-for-11 performance for Chandler Burks. He actually hit some of those downfield balls. But they were doing that mid-range passing again, which we saw at the very first game against Samford. It's probably the looks that Samford gave that Grant Chestnut thought he could take advantage of. I love those dink and dunk plays because you get Bronson Recksteiner running downhill in the middle of the field, or a little shout out to TJ Reed or Shaq Terry, one of those guys. You have a great chance to break it open. And, you know, Shaq Terry showed his speed, although the endurance may as he run down there at the 5-yard line and fumbled. But the speed and the agility of these guys, it's still there. They're very competitive. They're very athletic. And I do think you're right. The defense is going to be key. This is a team that's only allowing 63 rushing yards per game.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. And Kennesaw State, a team that puts up over 340 yards per game, that's going to be the focus. Rushing offense versus rushing defense, and we saw Samford sometimes disrupt in the backfield those pitches, which we hadn't seen all year long. Jacksonville State is a step quicker than Samford, and we'll see how that affects Kennesaw State's offense.
And that's why Kennesaw State benefited so much by playing Samford again, because you take a look at what Jacksonville State has on defense, it's probably more in line of, you know, playing Samford a second time, knowing that they have the tape, they have the experience against the Owls. Jacksonville State has the athletes that, you know, Samford made up for by having the tape. So for Kennesaw State, what they were able to do against Samford will have to apply on Saturday against Jacksonville State. And that's not just making teams defend sideline to sideline, but also making them defend depth-wise, making them have to worry about 15, 20 yards down the field. And Kennesaw State was forced to do that against Samford because Samford had four quarters of tape on them going back to the first game of the season, so Kennesaw State had to change it up. This is where that plays in. That's why playing Samford does provide an extra benefit for the Owls on Saturday.
I spoke last couple of days to a friend of mine that's on the Liberty broadcast crew because he had seen him. And some of that, of course, is to get logistics about the booth we'll work in, some of those things engineering related. But we started talking a little bit about the game, and he made an interesting point for me. He said, you know, I think you've got a chance to have a really good game with them because unlike us, meaning Liberty, you have the athletes to run with these guys all over the field. So he felt, and it's just an opinion, but he felt Kennesaw State's team speed was going to be one of the things, if you don't make mistakes, that enables you to stay in this game and actually have a chance to win it. The other thing that's worth noting, guys, is Jacksonville State. I know it's an FBS program. I know that you take that part of it out of the mix. But the one game they lost this year was against an option team in Tech. Now, again, I know an FBS program, an ACC program, but that was an offense that was able to find openings and find holes. And now Jacksonville State turned the ball over with their own offense in that game, and that's why the point spread ended up being what it was. I think it was 37-10.
Right.
But the point is, you know, they struggled with that version of the option, and while this is an FCS version of the option, it certainly is going to present a lot of the same kinds of challenges, plus the ability to throw the ball on a big target downfield.
Well, here's my – when you look at the Jacksonville State-Georgia Tech game, here's my concern. Georgia Tech only had 210 yards rushing in that game. They got 5 first downs by passing the ball. They usually don't get 5 first downs passing the ball. They only got 8 first downs running the ball. So it was the turnover game that really flipped the script on that game early. Now, Georgia Tech ran away with it late.
Georgia Tech had to have 110 yards passing, although they only threw the ball seven times. They had a couple hits downfield, which means can you get Justin Sumpter out in the open? You're probably going to have to go with Ezra Naylor, who dropped a touchdown, clear touchdown pass in the end zone. You know, that you can't let that linger. And then you've got Jordan Walker, who may be filling in for Xavier Harper as well. So those wide receivers, those wideouts may be more key in this game than we've seen all year long.
That's a great point.
And Jacksonville State, they allowed 200 and something to Georgia Tech rushing. If you base it on the average, 63 yards per game allowed rushing, that means they don't allow other teams to rush the ball. That means that defense has not had to play a run team like this since when? The second week of the season, third week of the FBS season. So that plays into Kennesaw's advantage, too. How do these guys react of having to stop the run for four quarters? Because Jacksonville State's game has been, hey, we're going to take away the run. You're not going to run the ball at all. And then when you're playing from behind against the Gamecocks, they're going to have to throw the ball. So that run defense from Jacksonville State, you give them credit. 63 yards per game is an amazing feat. But how much of that is not having to defend the run for four quarters as opposed to, you know, being in there, being in the trenches, and having that front four being, you know, beat up on for four quarters?
Jacksonville State, by the way, their last 50 games, 43-7.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn impressive. And, you know, they've sent a bunch of players to the next level over the years. But, you know, the one thing about this Owls team is, again, no moment has appeared to be too big. You expect a raucous crowd. It's a great atmosphere over there. Probably going to be 20,000 plus in the building. It's supposed to be a pretty nice day, I think, as far as I've looked ahead. But the Owls have never buckled under these circumstances. And, you know, I also think that that playoff experience thing, which Jacksonville certainly has a wealth of, but I think that playoff experience thing goes out the window a little bit when you're such a run-centric team. And the Owls showed last week that, you know, they almost made my 37-16 prediction come true if they don't fumble the ball at the one-yard line and Ezra Naylor hangs on to the football.
Yeah, and, you know, the games like Liberty and games like Montana State with big crowds, I mean, Montana State, they allowed those cowbells in the stadium, and it was loud. Chandler Burks talked on the way home. He literally couldn't check anything. It was all nonverbal checking. You've played in those atmospheres, and nothing's been too big
and excelled.
Now, you mentioned John Grass, who's their head coach. You got to root for a guy like that just because he came from the high school. He was hired as an offensive coordinator. After one season, he's promoted to head coach, and this team took off. So there's something special about Coach Grass and what he's doing there at Jacksonville State. And then you look at their quarterback. Their quarterback who's – and they kind of do a platoon kind of thing. But Bryant Horn, a quarterback who's got 11 touchdowns this season, thrown for over 1,200 yards. He's got a 54% completion rating. This guy was a linebacker when he came to Jacksonville State, made the switch to quarterback, was actually – receiving kickoffs and punts. That's how athletic he is. And he had a touchdown, returned a ball for a touchdown, a kickoff for a touchdown. So you can talk about a kid that's athletic, 6'1", 195 pounds, very athletic, hard nose, going to get in there and grind. You know, it's just going to be fun to watch. I'm so looking forward to this. When you get to know these teams as we do and prepare for the game, this Jacksonville State team, there's no question why they're so good. They got a lot of transfers. They got some FBS transfers. But they have 85% of the roster are freshmen coming in wanting to play for Coach Grass, and he's doing something special there.
The thing about that quarterback situation for Jacksonville State, whether it's Bryant Horn or Kendrick Doss, they throw a lot of interceptions. And for a ball-hawking defense like the Owls, you have to look on tape and say, hey, we have a lot of opportunities to change the game that way. 14 touchdown passes, 11 interceptions for the quarterback position. And, yeah, Bryant Horn is in his first year as a quarterback. What happened to their quarterback last year? Oh, he just so happened to make it through all of training camp and was one of the final cuts for an NFL team. That's the program that they're building in Jacksonville State. This is the toughest test for the Owls.
2:00 Eastern time, well, shortly thereafter, will be the kickoff between the Owls and Gamecocks. And we will have it, of course, here in the Atlanta area on 1230 The Fan 2 and 106.3 FM. And also you'll be able to get the broadcast online at atlantasportsstation.com or using the TuneIn app at 1230 The Fan 2. I think one of the real unsung heroes of this team is Jake McKenzie.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look at the game in that defining kind of, and I hate to overuse the word defining, but boy, the Owls, when they get the ball with a couple minutes left in the first half, and they're in a game where they've, you know, won the coin toss, deferred the choice, and they're going to have it to start. such a key possession for the Owls before halftime that ended, of course, on the second fade to Sumter down there. But you remember the deflected ball that right. carried to Jake McKenzie? That turns into a first down. Otherwise, that possession ends with a punt. And then the very next play, I mean, those two plays by Jake are what turned that into even a potential scoring drive. Otherwise, you might have just been running out the clock. And he and Chandler Burks have kind of developed a synergy a little bit. And Xavier Harper's been a little bit the same way,
yeah,
by the way.
I agree with that.
That you know your quarterback's in trouble, come back to the ball. And, you know, McKenzie with the deflected ball thing, that was just a thing of beauty. Some of that's luck, but you also got to be in the right place at the right time to have that kind of luck.
And it's a headsy play. And when the play slows down, for a player to catch a deflected ball like that going to the ground in such a crucial time in the game. I mean, I can't believe it wasn't one of these Sports Center top 10. It wasn't that flashy, but it certainly was a big play in that game. Jake McKenzie ran for 38 yards on 9 carries, but he had 2 catches for 35 yards, and those were critical times in the game. And he's been battling a little bit of a back injury too, so he's doing it. He's having to come off. You'll see Bronson Rechsteiner check in a good bit just because you got to get him some rest. And Bronson stepped up. You know, Bronson had some fumble issues there early on in the season, and I think he's kind of got those under control right now. When you have that 1-2 punch, I'm telling you, nobody wants to tackle Bronson Rechsteiner in the open field.
And for Jake McKenzie, what he does when he's not on the field also plays a huge factor. When Rechsteiner's in making big plays, scoring touchdowns, or Chandler even, Jake McKenzie's the first one off the sidelines with that intensity, running through them, giving them hugs and high fives. And that speaks to just Jake McKenzie's mentality. He doesn't have to be the guy. He just wants to be on the winning team, and he doesn't care who gets the credit for it. But he just produces so many different things from being on the field, being off the field, and having that, you know, that chutzpah about him that keeps that team together. And that's what you mentioned, player-led team. He's definitely one of the leaders. And away from the field, he's one of the most soft-spoken guys, but he's really intelligent about the game. He knows multiple positions. He was a quarterback, but he's very in tune with what everybody has to do on the field, whether it be offensive line, the backs, the receivers, and even defenses. That's how he puts himself in the right position, by studying the defense's tendencies and knowing where guys should be, and when they're not there, filling that void.
Boy, you know you're in the playoffs when somebody drops a chutzpah in there.
Had to expand the vocabulary.
But, you know, one of the things, Coach Bohannon yesterday, when we talked, telling me, or talking a little bit about Jacksonville State, he made the point they're special on defense.
Yeah.
And he was quick to credit how special their running back group is as well. But the reason I bring that up is the Owls have had a pretty special group of running backs, too. We just talked extensively about Jake. We touched a little on Bronson. Sam Outlaw is an effective inside runner, and, you know, he should be rounding back to where now you've got a three-headed yeah. monster at your two-back. But the A-backs have been sensational. I mean, when Terry isn't stepping up, Holland is. Sometimes both of them. Look at the Liberty game. Sometimes both of them are. Trey Shivers has played much better, certainly more early in the year when he had more opportunities. But T.J. Reed also.
Yeah.
Has been a real asset. You've got 4 guys there, in effect, that what it's done is, instead of trying to prepare for the Owls option offense that's tough enough on its own, where you have a feature back like Chasten Bennett back there like they had the last 2 years, now you've got 4 different guys to account for at any one time. And that group, that whole group, and I'm talking about A's and B's, has been a real strength for the Owls.
Well, and when you lose Chasten Bennett and going in, we knew that they had a lot of talent back there, but there's something about the running backs. It looks like Darnell Holland is able to flip a switch and just put, especially late in the season, he's running with a little extra effort. With Shaq Terry, it's down the field. He's able to flip the switch and make a cut or move or whatever, make somebody miss. I think that, and T.J. Reed's been important also. When teams are going to stack the interior, you got to run that perimeter game and pitch it. The blocking has been phenomenal. Our wide receivers do a great job of blocking. Those B-backs did a phenomenal job against Samford, really just kind of paving the way for that 3-4-5 yard gain by those A-backs. So, yeah, you got to like what you're doing on Kennesaw State's backfield. And now for Jacksonville State, you got one of the better names that we've seen, Rock Thompson,
yeah.
One of their running backs, a guy who's got over 1,000 yards rushing, 12 touchdowns, who's first in the OVC. He's averaging 6.2 yards per carry. That is a beast of a runner right there. And you're going to have to find a way to stop him. And they've got a big offensive line, guys, a huge offensive line. And they're talking about all OVC first team. I think all four guys, their main core, were all AVC first team, OVC first team. So, yeah, the backfields are going to be something to watch. And, you know, I think Kennesaw State can definitely stand with them and hang with them.
And that's the one thing Jacksonville State didn't see against Georgia Tech when the last time they played the option. You name seven guys that run the ball for Kennesaw State. Well, you throw in Chandler Burks, that's eight guys. Yeah. They don't – can you imagine eight guys fresh at to have to defend them for four quarters? That's almost an impossible feat, and that's something they didn't have to deal with at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech has, what, three, four guys primarily right. that end up running the ball, taking the bulk of the carries. To divide those carries over eight guys and to have eight guys be, you know, as close to fresh as they are at the end of the game is something that's going to, you know, take a test for Jacksonville State. And them running the ball for the Owls, they do a very good job of getting after the quarterback. What we saw last week against Sanford was a very big offensive line, and the Owls exploited the fact that those big guys up front for Sanford were not the best pass blockers. So what they do, they dropped a lot of guys back and now forced, you know, Sanford to have to pass block and getting through lanes with their four rushers, maybe bringing a fifth guy. So Kennesaw State is going to have to be adjustable defensively to try to find those exploitations against Jacksonville State.
If you can get pressure, you're not facing another version of Devlin Hodges here. You know, this guy's a serviceable, pretty good quarterback, but if you can get to him, there isn't a quarterback alive that's going to be able to do his job if you can get pressure on him. So that becomes a key. Another off the immediate attention key for me, we talked a little about Ezra Naylor. If Harper can't go, it's not as much that you want Ezra to hang on to that ball, but can he deliver the downfield blocks
Absolutely.
That you were talking about a little bit ago? Because that's a
right.
huge key.
Yeah, and it is going to be huge, and that's something that going into the season and being on the sidelines where I get to stand watching some of those wide receivers just almost pancake guys on these run games. I mean, our wide receivers are great blockers. And if you talk to Justin Sumter, he talks about how important blocking is and how much he likes blocking. I think that's really important. So, yeah, it's going to be important for Ezra Naylor and those guys to step up and see. And Brandon, you mentioned about how Kennesaw State was able to force the defense or the offensive line to go pass block. You're not going to see 66 passes like you saw against Devlin Hodges. This offense is more versatile. They'll do those little those pitches, those shuffle passes, those whatever. I mean, they call this like the high school type offense where it's just throw it to the wall and see what sticks.
Schoolyard shenanigans. It's,
yeah, that's exactly what it is. Schoolyard shenanigans.
We've worked in a Hudson of shenanigans.
Yeah, I know.
And
an erroneous and a redemption. So, yeah. You got to be careful, you know, and Brian Newberry is knows. I think you're probably going to see a kind of a blitzing package similar to what you saw against Sanford. You're going to show blitz a lot and then drop. You're going to not show blitz and then blitz. You're going to blitz, show blitz and then blitz. So you're going to mix it up, but you got to be very judicious when you blitz, because this team can hit you for a deep pass, mid-range pass. They've got a lot of talent all around them. So it's going to be interesting to see how they – one thing that Devlin Hodges is great is – at the blitz point of attack, he was dropping those balls right over Kennesaw State because they don't have a run game. They're very good at that. Jacksonville State's not as good, but they still have the talent to do something like that. They're going to watch this Kennesaw State blitzing defense and see how they can handle it.
Yeah, I want to see Jacksonville State keep the running back in, force the running back to take hits in the backfield to protect the quarterback, because that wears down the running back as the game goes on. So for Kennesaw State, yeah, Devlin Hodges was very good at throwing to the empty spot and making sure a receiver was there. Well, Brian Horn, you know, he's had 11 games as a quarterback. Can he make those finite adjustments? Can he make, you know, can he read a zone? Kennesaw State does a very good job, and this is very underrated, of having guys in the right spot of the zone. Taylor Hinkle all the time. There was the Montana State game, and then there was the Sanford game. Not the Sanford game, the Monmouth game, where he dropped the interception. That is pinpoint zone play, and that's being in the right spot of the zone and masking. It's so easy for quarterbacks, when you have that experience, to see a guy and recognize what type of zone he's playing. Kennesaw State does a good job of masking those guys in the zone as receivers run through, feigning to pick up the receiver, then dropping back and picking up your zone. So Kennesaw State does a good job, and I think you're going to have a lot of multiple looks, a lot of, you know, confusion-style defense to force Bryant Horn to have to make these decisions.
Well, the other thing to note about him, you know, you talked about him transitioning from linebacker. They had a bye last week, so this will be his very first ever playoff game as a quarterback, and we'll see if the Owls can disrupt him and cause some problems for him defensively. Another key in this one that I think is a huge key for the Owls is you've got to move the chains to get first downs. The defense was on the field 91 snaps last week, which is 35-40 more than they've averaged the entire year. In the second half of the game, we recall, and of course it's against a very good defense, you know, the Owls at times struggled and they had some three and outs, more so than we've seen them have most of the year. I don't think you can repeat that over against an opponent like this and expect to come out of your defense eventually is going to wear down. You can't have 91 snaps again.
No, and you know what I think Kennesaw State could do, and if Tuton were here, he'd probably punch me in the face because they don't think kickers are real football players. The punting for Kennesaw State has been phenomenal. Nick Jones and Christian Kinsley, they both had over 50-yard punts. They averaged about 47 yards per kick. Use the goal line as your friend. Pin them back deep. They had two inside the 20. We've seen what happens when teams are pinned deep within the 7-yard line. Kennesaw State gets after them, and these teams under pressure can't handle it. So if you can – and coaches will say kicking at the end of possession is not a bad. You're either kicking your field goal or punting. That's the mindset Kennesaw State has to have. You're not going to put up 50 points on this team. If you can't get that first down and can't move the chains, you've got two punters who have been really, really good this year about pinning them deep. Nick Jones is kind of the coffin corner guy, and then Christian Kinsley, the depth guy. Pin them deep. Use that goal line against you. And if you can do that and flip the field position, I think you got that's a huge benefit for Kennesaw State. They've been very good in that category.
Yeah, it's so hard for a team to drive 97 yards to get a touchdown at this level of football. So Kennesaw State does have the punting game in their advantage. Offensively, they need to stay ahead of the sticks on first down. They need to get positive yards. Mm-hmm. That was the toughest thing against Samford. They would be in 2nd and 8, 3rd and 7, and you don't want to be in those situations because that allows teams to either pin their ears back or play pass, and then you're punting. Well, if you get, you know, 2-3 yards on first down, that opens up the playbook. That leaves a lot of options for Kennesaw State, no pun intended, to make the team have to defend, and all of a sudden, now you're moving the ball down the field because Chandler Burks has done a great job of checking to the right place, whether if they're dropping back, just picking up 3 or 4 yards on second down. So now you're in 3rd and short. Now teams have to defend, you know, that 3-yard, you know, zone.
Yeah.
But for Kennesaw State, it's going to be, you know, 4th and short. And those situations, you're going to have to want to go for it. You're going to have to want to get this game and effectively punch Jacksonville State in the mouth. And I think they know that mindset of, hey, let's go in here. Let's not give them any opportunity. So if it is 4th and 1 on the 50, let's try to get that first down. Let's try to, you know, shock Jacksonville State and say, hey, this team, we're going to have to play them for 4 quarters.
Here are Coach Bohannon's thoughts on Jacksonville State and the challenge that the Owls face this week.
I'll be excited to be in the second round of the FCS playoffs and another great opportunity for our football program as we head over to Jacksonville State to play the number 3 seed team, an awfully good football team. You just look on both sides of the ball, and special teams are awfully talented. A rich tradition of winning in FCS and Division II. I mean, I've known about Jacksonville State for a long time. They got a rich tradition of winning football games. It'll be quite a challenge for us to go over there. Defensively, shoot, I don't know the stats. They're probably giving up a couple touchdowns a game, under 100 yards rushing. They're awfully talented. Got the player of the year. They're an outside linebacker. You know, they're good. They can run. Most athletic defense we've played probably since we've been here. Fly the ball, can run. That's the one thing you see, they can run. They're very talented. Going to be a challenge for us. Offensively, big up front. Running backs are exceptional. One's from Georgia, one's from Auburn. And they're both really, really good. And they do a nice job with what they do in the run game with their quarterback. And, you know, they're a solid football team. There's a reason they're number 3 seed. They're definitely one of the top 2 or 3 teams in the country, without a doubt. And I think it's a great opportunity for our program. If you want to be in that elite company, if you want to be one of the best teams, then you got to go play them. You know, you got to go compete. And I think, again, it's just a great opportunity. And we're going to continue to prepare like we always do, continue to go play our best football game, and we'll see what happens. So we're excited about the opportunity. It's going to be a great environment. You know, it'll be a great college football environment over there, so we're excited about that as well, and we'll look forward to it.
So we remind you that the Owls will take on Jacksonville State. It's the second round of the playoffs. Whoever wins this
round of eight
moves to the quarterfinals. And boy, what a, you know, what a season it's already been, guys. And I'm going to offer you a prediction. A, the Owls are going to find a way to win the turnover battle in this game. And B, I think they're going to find a way to shock the world and win the game 26-24.
Well, I don't – that's, I think it's bold. I certainly think it's bold. I think this Jacksonville State team is good, and they're big. I think their defensive line is outstanding. Their offensive line is tremendous. Their quarterback's made good plays. He's kind of just a headsy player, athletic. Their wide receivers are good. They put some tools around the quarterback. Rock Thompson's a good running back. They've got to platoon those guys. Kennesaw State, if they could play their game, I think it's going to be close. I certainly think it's going to be close. Do I think Kennesaw State can win? Absolutely. I think they can win. Can they continue be so consistent? You know, I think they can. They've shown that they can that consistently, and that's what's key in these games is can they be consistent? I don't know whether they're going to win the game or not, but I certainly think it's going to be competitive.
I think whoever wins this game is going to have to win it on a game-winning field goal. I think it's going to be that close of a game. It's going to come down to who has the ball last, and it's going to be a game-winning field goal. And for Kennesaw State, I haven't seen a game-winning field goal since, what, 2 years ago, basically? So we're due for a game-winning field goal. I think it's going to be one of those games. I think Jacksonville State, they will be prepared, but I don't think they'll be prepared to be as punched in the mouth as Kennesaw State will do. Jacksonville State will have to recover by a lot of skill and athleticism. I think Kennesaw State defensively has a distinct advantage over Bryant Horn. I know what Jacksonville State has been able to do offensively, rotating the quarterbacks and having a great offensive line. I think when it comes to throwing the ball downfield, which I firmly believe Kennesaw State is going to make it a possession battle, and Jacksonville State is going to have to throw the ball at times, not, you know, dink and dunk. They're going to have to throw the ball past the sticks, 15, 20 yards. Kennesaw State has a distinct advantage in that realm. I think it's going to come down to a 35-yard game-winning field goal by one of these teams.
He even picked the yardage amount, man. This guy brought his A game today. But, well, that'll do it for us. We remind you that win, lose, draw, whatever it is, we hope that we're sitting here next week. We'll have one more of these Final Word podcasts at least, and we hope more than that. But we hope we're sitting here next week recapping the Owls going over there and in some people's minds shocking the world. Would not shock any of us if they go over there and find a way to win. It's easy to feel that way, guys, when you've reeled off 11 in a row. You feel like you get up every game day and you've got a chance and should win the game. And I'm not going to go any different. I think the Owls are going to keep it going. But thanks to Nathan McCreary. Thanks to Brandon Joseph. Thanks, as always, to Jake Duro for wrangling all this together. And this is the Final Word podcast. Owls and Jacksonville State on Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern. Again in the Atlanta area, 12:30, The Fan 2 on AM 106.3 FM and online at atlantasportsstation.com as well as the TuneIn app at 12:30, The Fan 2. Pregame coverage begins at 1:30 Eastern. That'll do it for this edition of the Final Word Podcast. I'm Brian Giffen. Go Owls.